Welcome back to Bibliosynensis.
Well, episode zero.
It's a brand new season, and we just want to check in before we actually get into a real discussion.
Right.
So
there's been a lot on our end, so we thought we'd catch everyone up to speed and...
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Go from there.
It's been quite the season, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, just to begin, what are we drinking?
So, since it's an episode zero, I thought it would be kind of fun to try prototypes that never actually made it. Mm-hmm. And this is actually one of the six prototypes that were created for Charming Life.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. So, give it a whirl.
All right. Chin chin. Ooh, whoa.
What do you think of that?
Well, I could see why we have the, you know, the version we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like missing a layer, but it's still really good.
So this was in the beginning when we wanted to have an apple flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted a little bit of that Swedish flair to it.
Yes.
And a lot of the teas that Lindsay and Jonas were sending me were actually tisanes.
Mm.
Kind of like summer berry, that sort of thing. It had chunks and chunks of fruit in it.
Right.
So this is actually the main base. I don't know if you can taste it, which is that decaf apricot.
Yeah.
So it's half of the base of the one we have now, because the other half is a rooibos. But this one has apricot, rose hips, which is actually the bottom half of the rose. It's the sour part.
Right.
But it's chock full of vitamin C and all that good stuff for you. So it's that with green apple pieces, dehydrated. Wow. And I think it tastes really, I guess it's tart, but it's poppy and it's refreshing.
Yeah. It's lovely like that.
So, let us know. We've been really enjoying your fan mail. If you like hearing all these prototypes that we have, if you guys like to hear more about this behind the scenes sort of stuff, I'd love to share all the forlorn blends. Because trust me, there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Yes, the frustration, the pleasures, and the... You know, the happy mistakes that happen in between.
Yeah.
So
today is actually a quiet Sunday for us.
Yes.
Quiet.
Quiet enough.
Quiet in a day is
The world is alive again. Construction is happening everywhere.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. So we are actually broadcasting from the Mambo.
Yes!
We announced on our birthday live stream, right?
Yeah, we are in the she shed of T Spectral herself.
Yeah, and the desk is finally up. We have our little mini kitchen, though we are still working on the electricity in here.
Mm-hmm.
But we just moved in our kitchen cart and our tiki entertainment glasses.
Yeah. I feel like this actually incorporates more of, like, our love for what we enjoyed in Disney. Because we're very vintage Disney fanatics at this point.
Yeah, so before Disney passes were cool.
Yeah.
Eugene actually gifted me and him annual passes. And that was back in, what, 07?
07, yeah. We were still making theater productions at that time, so
yeah,
it was perfect.
And we had them for about 3-4 years.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like somewhat of a downgrade to go to Universal instead of continuing with our Disney passes, but life got really busy after a while, and, you know, we had to actually admit that we couldn't make it to Disney as often.
Yeah, and... the roads were a lot more traffic back then, too. So driving to Anaheim was...
Yeah.
For us, it was about a 2-hour drive, almost. Yeah. So it went from literally, what, a 45-minute drive to a 2-hour drive with how busy traffic got in L.A.
Yes.
So we just said nope.
Exactly.
But yeah, there's a lot of vintage Dapper Day Dizania sort of inspirations in here.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing we have here that isn't Disney is the Haro from Gundam.
There's a few other things we'll have. I mean, I have my prize Noetra love song art piece in here.
I was about to say the pirate flag doesn't seem Disney, but you are a huge fan.
I am Pirates a of the huge Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean fan, and I didn't know how to incorporate it in this cute little shed, so I actually got a little garden flag outside with a pirate. It's a little pirate flag. I'm sure the neighbors are very confused right now.
Yes, I'm pretty sure they are.
Especially since the shed is hot pink doors and a little, it's navy blue.
Yeah.
Or what did Kendra coined it? It was navy purple. There we go.
And for those that have actually been following T-Spectral, Kendra is the manager of, what was it?
The Kettle Cafe in Spring, Texas, right. And I love their menu. Please go check out that on our Instagram TV. But we actually did an interview with her, and we talked about how her menu curates around T-Spectral blends.
Yes.
And she does all kinds of fun stuff. She has a Harry Potter month in October, so there's like a whole theme. I love it. She actually has a Forbidden Forest combo, which is my favorite. She does an orange cream, Devonshire cream with ginger scones, and she has forest.
Ah.
So you can get cream tea. But she also has full out tea trays, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's a load of fun. But yeah. There's been a lot going on at T-Spectral headquarters, to say the least.
Yes.
And we just wanted to explain that, so...
Where do you want to begin?
Well, let's start with the fact that we are officially incorporated.
Oh, that. Yes.
Yeah, so thanks to all of your support, Hauntiers, we just couldn't run at a small business rate anymore, like right. What we were doing, similar to an Etsy shop. And we are moving into a commercial kitchen. Originally, we had the manufacturer help us with us blending our teas by hand at their facilities. But because we have such a large quantity,
yes,
we are now moving into a commercial kitchen.
Yes.
And
it's a lot of hoops to jump.
Yeah, and we got a business grant. Yes. And we're being featured at, or well, we will be at the Hollywood Artisan Market this June.
Yes.
Into that.
So catch us when you can.
Yes.
A lot of the farmers markets are reopening, so it ought to be fun to actually...
Yeah, so I'd like to do a little chat about that, which is, I mean, this is more of a casual chat. The last episode we put up seemed to get really great feedback.
Yes.
So we thought we'd do a little more of a casual chat before we dive right into our episodes.
Yes.
Again. But yeah, I just wanted to casually chat and see how everyone was during COVID. I know we started the show during COVID.
Yes.
Which was insane. But we had the time and we really enjoyed it. It's actually been a passion of ours for a while that me and Eugene should do a podcast, and we just couldn't find the right format, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean, what would you say?
No, it was the format, really. I mean, like, there came a point where talking about just, I don't know, classic books was just not hitting the spot for us.
Yeah, the review style, like the traditional style of reviewing.
Exactly.
Books was just...
It just didn't jive with us.
It felt too stiff. I mean, when I go to a podcast, I kind of feel like, I guess I'm in good company, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just didn't feel like, it felt like we were a bunch of pretentious people.
Okay, needless to say, anyone that gets to actually entitle themselves to being a host of any program is being pretentious. Mm-hmm. But can you feel comfortable being that pretentious for that long?
I think I can't. And no. I think that's what I brought up similarly in the last episode is, yeah, I have my certifications. Yeah, I know everything. But where's the fun in that? Where's the fun if I can't get you guys to enjoy tea?
Exactly. I mean, what's the point of actually, you know, encouraging everyone to drink tea if we snob everybody that knows nothing about it?
Yeah. Come on, if you want your own little club, great.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. But we like the people that want to create new traditions out of it and experience the old.
Exactly.
And that's a big part of Tea Spectral is understanding the past and understanding how it affects the future. And I for one do not want to get stuck in this like textbook idea of what tea is and what tea culture is.
And yes, do we know too many of them?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yes. Snobbing is part of tea culture and we wish to not participate in that.
Chin chin to that.
Chin chin to that.
So, LA's opening up.
Yes.
The vaccines are coming through.
Right.
What else is going on?
People are confused, I guess.
Yeah.
As to, you know, what side we should be on. And there are those that actually say they know which side to be on.
Well, I'm just, for one, happy.
Exactly.
Life is going on. I still do the extra second take. Like, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Right.
I'm still very precocious. Anytime I can do pickup, I do. I still do it.
Yeah. So, people are prepped to actually do what they need to do. And we're starting to notice a lot of, personality change here in L.A.,
Oh, yeah. So what is that thing? So most of our extrovert friends are calling themselves feral, and I think that's just...
It's accurate.
It's a great way of explaining it.
I mean, like, not everyone knows how to actually cozy up in the in their home for, like, weeks on end and actually come out completely sane. Not everybody does that. Not everyone.
Right.
So I for one... I think have actually suffered from that myself. You know, mm-hmm. I look like I'm actually all right, but to be honest, like, I can't just keep socializing with coworkers on Zoom all the time. Like, I kind of wish I could actually, like, see a person without, I don't know, stereo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm, like, giving away my age as usual.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. But, I don't know, like, it's weird to actually see business moving up again. It's weird to actually see people again.
And... Yes. I know for me, sitting inside restaurants is a little eerie for me. It's just confusing.
Yeah.
I know our anniversary, we snagged a seat inside of Tam O'Shanter.
Yes!
And it was great. I mean, I got the pub experience and the fireplace and the big seats and all that good stuff. But it was... Man, did that confuse my senses. It felt like, okay, you can turn the green screen off.
Yes, yes. Oh, but it was an amazing Scottish pub.
Yes.
I have never seen so much whiskey on a wall before. You know?
Right.
But we were there for grilled cheese.
We were there for... Oh my goodness. I think out of the whole meal, it had to have been their truffle pudding.
Yes.
They'd make it in a goblet, which I'm gonna have to hijack that idea.
Yeah.
Well, at least take inspiration from.
Take inspiration.
I do make a mean... Ironically, I do make a really good fudge Oreo truffle pudding, right?
Yes. Yes, you do.
So, that should be a recipe.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Let's talk about that. I mean, like, you built the Mambo for that purpose.
Yes. So, I just remember pre-COVID just having a really lousy day.
Right.
There's a lot of stress going on. I think you were working at your new job before you lost it to COVID.
Yes.
And what happened? I was working full hours. I got my first raise. I wouldn't say first raise, but like, it was weird because at my old job as a teacher, I was literally just having these, this buildup of raises within a 6-month period.
Yeah.
Just because I kept accepting certain responsibilities. And I definitely bit off more than I could chew. And I just was feeling bummed I couldn't spend time with you.
Right.
And I couldn't spend time with a lot of people. So Ryan, our friend, which many of you have seen peek through here and there, he was just like, hey, are you okay? What do you want to do? And I'm like, you know what, Ryan? I think I want to make these weird Swedish cookies that Jonas put up one each season.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's obsessed with Swedish culture.
Yes, he's, Jonas is Lindsay's husband.
It's a Charming Life.
Yeah.
But, I didn't know this. There's a huge swing dance scene in Sweden.
Yeah.
And Ryan is a professional swing dancer. So he's been trying to get into Swedish culture so that he can eventually go to this infamous camp in Sweden.
Right.
For swing dancers. So, he was all for it. We failed horribly. We burnt the yeast, to make the bread elevate.
Right.
And so we had these hard as rock, but they were really good, Swedish rolls. And they, you know, the feedback was just crazy. It was on my private feed and a lot of friends and family were super supportive, but there was like this resounding, oh my god, if there was a cooking show where Ryan, that knows nothing about cooking,
yes,
is with the pro entertainer, you, Steph, and he learns how to cook with you, I would watch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And we thought about it for a while, and he loved the idea, he loved the experience of cooking, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we decided, hey, maybe we should do a cooking show, but not necessarily Stiff.
Right.
But something similar to like what we have here on Bibliosinensis, where we just talk.
Yeah.
And learn new techniques. And Ryan knows absolutely nothing, but wants to know more.
Yeah.
So we're going to focus more on that.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also brought the whole idea of Mambo, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, I originally did entertain the idea of a she-shed for a while now, but it became really necessary when Two Spectral started to grow.
Yes.
Because my office started as the little packing center, so I had like a little storage unit in my home office where I was able to pack all the bags away safely, like the pre-made bags at the distribution center.
Yeah.
And it just got crazy.
Yeah, it got bigger and bigger.
It got crazier. I mean, when I started T Spectral, I never thought in a million years I would have wholesale accounts at different restaurants, which is a thing now.
Yeah.
I never expected to do large quantities. I mean, it just kept increasing, increasing, increasing. I mean, I just remember starting out and like even buying out 1 to 2 pounds of tea and just being like, I have stock. This is phenomenal. I'm doing the things.
Yes.
And here we are buying like a minimum of like 20, 30 pounds, sometimes 50,
mm-hmm,
every season of each flavor. And it's, I don't know if I'm giving it away, but everybody can do the math, but it's just, it's definitely a lot of tea.
Yes. Yes.
And it's kind of driven me out of my office.
The office has become the tea central.
Yeah, so it's become this tea packaging to the point where it has its own bookcase of nothing but the pre-made bags.
Yes.
And it's just this weird dance where we have to bring these 10-pound bags to the kitchen, pre-mix a certain flavor in mass quantities for what hours?
Exactly.
And then bring them back in giant storage boxes and put them in the on the shelf. But because of that, there's literally no space for me to have an office anymore.
Yeah.
In the office. So I have no place to write. I have no place to do Zoom sessions with my clients for consulting. It's just been a dance. And Eugene also has a new job, huzzah.
Yay.
Which involves him working from home a lot, so we fight a lot for the office.
Yes.
The one tiny little desk in the corner, which you'll see me do a lot of our live streams for Instagram on, with our bookcase facing the back, but that's actually a very small space now. So we needed space for me to do the works. And that's kind of where the Mambo was absolutely necessary at that point. So it's turned from this little tiny, oh, it's a little cute kitchen and a studio, to it's also my office, which I'm not complaining. I mean, this place is cute.
Yeah.
So
it's a getaway from your home.
Even though it's like in the backyard.
Oh, yeah.
But hey.
Cool.
So that is the reason behind this shed.
Huzzah.
Yeah. What other things can we talk about? Oh my goodness. I was just doing inventory the other day and I didn't realize how many teas we launched during COVID.
Yes.
We launched, well, this earlier this year, we launched Nouveau, Art Nouveau, which I had been wanting to do for a while. But I didn't want it to overshadow Charming Life's launch.
Right.
So, because they're both Rooibos spaces. But we also did Golden West. And we did Nymph earlier in that year. And we did Bibliophilia, which I wasn't planning to. I just wanted a tea for the podcast. And I whipped it up. And you guys have responded so tremendous to it. I mean, I think Bibliophilia is probably almost beating out Daydreamer. They run neck to neck with each other now.
Mm, that's quite the race.
Yeah, and it's been around for less than a year. So, yeah, you guys love Bibliophilia. Thank you. I mean, I love it too. I made it, you know, I was thinking, what's the perfect balance of caffeine and flavors to just cozy up to? And I came up with that blend, so.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I mean, what's been your favorite tea spectral highlight?
I'm not too sure, actually. If anything, my favorite highlights have been with Biblio Sinensis, to be honest. Just because I'm the one that's usually, like, all caught up in the campaigning of it. And I see people's responses. And it's been amazing over how some of the people just know so much about, like, a certain series, and I didn't even know, like, what's a good one? There's actually a Ripley series. People call it Ripleyad, like the Iliad. If you guys actually remember that movie that practically ruined Jude Law's career for a while.
I think you put a few posts of it. I didn't even watch it until last year.
Yeah.
You always brought it up, and I thought I watched the movie.
The Talented, but then when Mr. we Ripley.
Finally, yeah, when we finally watched it, I was like, wait, I haven't watched this. This is interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, you know, I was, like, bombarded with people telling me, like, oh my gosh, like, I, you know, the movie was amazing, you know, certain characters were exactly the same, and you should try this, the entire saga, and I'm like, oh my, that's gonna take over an entire season of my life. I mean, I'm happy it's not, like, Alexandre Dumas's series of, like, stories. Like, you'd think there's only, like, you know, Man in the Iron Mask, Musketeer, and, you know, Count of Monte Cristo, but, oh lord, it goes on. It goes on. And the thing is, like, I am surprised that nobody knew he was, like, half black. I'm like...
Yeah, and that's what makes it so interesting, though, because it makes the Count of Monte Cristo, like, whoa.
Yeah, like, hold suddenly on. The flair makes so much sense.
Like... Oh, wow. So this was about historical oppression on so many levels.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, like it, that mainly was a lot of fun for me because it got people to drink tea while talking about books. And then suddenly it felt like when we were publishing our podcast, it wasn't just us. Like, hoping that they were drinking tea with us. It was literally them actually drinking tea at the same
Absolutely. Time. Which, might I add, thank you guys so much for tagging us whenever you're reading a book. I'm not gonna lie, I screen cap some of them. I'm like, that looks interesting, screen cap.
Yes.
So, you're definitely growing. If anything, you're definitely growing my reading list. But... It's also really great to just see people reading with a cup of my tea. I mean, that's one of my favorite pastimes. So the fact that I could be a part of that is just, it's such a wonderful feeling.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that I actually, like, stood out, you know, for me is when you have these live streams with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to actually talk about what they do with your tea and how it all began.
Yes. It's so much fun. Every time I get a call from Kendra on the rare occasion that she remembers because she's so busy.
Yeah.
She'll call me and she's like, I'm ordering this, but do you know how I prepare it? And she explains it to me. And just some of the things she comes up with, I'm like, really? That is so cool. Like, she made a silk ribbon blend, or like she has silk ribbon, and she calls it the hot cocoa of love. But she steeps it extra dark with the roasted cacao nibs really like coming through.
Yeah.
And she serves it with heavy cream. Ooh. So it comes out tasting. She says it tastes like a really rich cocoa. I have yet to try it. I just. You know, don't casually keep heavy cream around. but it's definitely on my list of things to do. But
I love how she discussed, I think on that one video that she posted about high tea.
So those are not up yet, but they are soon.
Oh, are they?
Okay. I guess I could drop a little advertisement for her here. But that's another exciting thing that happened last year is Kettle Cafe, in response to COVID-19, became a soup kitchen for a while for people.
Yeah.
And they even had a few days where they did like a pay-as-you-can, similar to the Panera Bread charity.
Yes.
And it was really successful, and they realized how much of a need in the community there was for this kind of hospitality. So they actually founded their own 501c3.
Oh.
And for our haunteers out there that are familiar with the podcast, we brought it up. I've worked with Azure Lorca with you for years, a decade.
Yes.
And so they actually brought me on as one of the board members at Kettle Cafe. And I'm very proud to be a part of it. But part of what I do is what I do with my regular job, whereas I consult restaurants. So I told them, let's do some more media.
Yeah.
And bless Kendra's heart, here she is, live streaming. And she's going to be posting some YouTube videos on just tea etiquette and modern tea.
Yeah.
And I think that's coming out next week. But we did have talks about it. We're going to be doing more live streams just because the response was so much fun. And she's a great interview.
Yeah.
So look forward to those things. But yes, I'm very, very, very honored to be on the Kettle Cafe board. And that also means I'll be posting some articles for them.
Yes.
Yes. So, I am not just here in the Bibliosinensis / T-Spectral universe. I will also be on the Kettle Cafe universe. And I was talking to Kendra. It's like we've created our own little cartoon universe.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, you have, like, all the way at New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the way here in LA, and then all the way to Texas, and as far as maybe the UK?
Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to give everything away, but I'm on a very top secret, awesome project with Professor Elemental.
Yeah. He's always fun to work with. He was actually at the Fan Film Awards earlier this year.
Yes, we did his first Zoom concert, which was really successful.
Oh my gosh, I never realized how you could actually be interactive on Zoom.
Yeah.
With a bunch
of geeks. I loved
his
freestyle rap. That was so good.
I mean, if anything, I'm really excited over, like, who were able to survive during this COVID mayhem and just how much they've grown, you know? A lot of, I guess, underdogs have actually become stars themselves, and I am, you know, very happy with who might actually be our next celebrities in the near future.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. I mean, beyond that, like, we have, I don't know, have we even had time to read at this point?
So, I have, actually. Unfortunately, a lot of it is textbook work. More certifications. I won't go into detail, but boring, long certifications for tea. Yes. In the name of tea and blending, I'm actually going to be taking one of those tests this week, this coming week. So, it's just been a lot of studying for me, brushing up on sommelier stuff. I know one thing I'm really curious about is I'm going to start brushing up on the science of tea.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to know. So just a lot of boring reads, but as for interesting reads, I mean, I earlier this year finished Cursed Child. It was really great. Probably my favorite Harry Potter book.
At this point.
I did hear you reading Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, no.
And saw you, and I was like, yeah, that's a good one. Ooh. All the little textbooks are gems. What else am I... Oh, I've picked up this really good book recently called Resist.
Mm.
It's actually a children's book, but it's 35 historical figures that did protesting.
Oh.
And I've been learning so much. I love it, actually. Okay. It's like crash course documentaries to me.
Yes.
What about you? Any new books?
Yeah, actually. There was this one book about, I guess, a girl who wants to travel back in time. But she has to actually go to this one cafe and sip on this one exact coffee. Just to travel back in time.
Wait, is that the the Little Tokyo Cafe one?
I don't
have my phone on me because I have my Goodreads listed.
Oh, here it is.
What is it called?
Before the Coffee Gets Cold by Tashi...
Yes.
Oh?
Yes, that's the one.
Toshikazu Kawaguchi.
Okay, yeah, so that is actually on my reading list.
Oh, it's good. Really good.
You know what inspired me was, oh my god, I can't believe we're going to be talking about Netflix list.
Bring it!
But The City of Ghosts was so good.
Oh, yeah.
That is such an endearing, lovely Netflix series without being over the top.
I know, it felt like a love letter to LA.
It was. I mean, and for being Angelenos ourselves, it was just really nice to see a lot of our, like, the past 50 years, I guess, represented.
Yeah. I mean, like, you don't realize how many Japanese are actually in Los Angeles until you actually watch this series.
Yeah, because they're more dispersed now because they were some of the first, I guess, culture of Asian that came.
Yeah. And they're like the most Americanized culture of Asians in America. Like, it's rare to actually find a Japanese American that can speak Japanese, you know? And it was intriguing. It's really intriguing because, like, that series Cobra Kai that came out.
Yeah, okay. Like, I love the historical side of it.
I never realized how much of the Japanese American culture were actually in the valley, the San Fernando Valley.
Yeah.
You know?
And you lived in Panorama City for a while, so.
So, like, half the stuff that, like, they would talk about with Mr. Miyagi and all that. Like,
but your mom's best friend, too, when you moved, was a Japanese old lady.
Yeah.
And they did everything together, right?
Yeah. A lot of, like, very spooky people, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, the little restaurant down the street.
Like, oh, yeah, there's this local restaurant that we love going to, and it's been there, apparently, longer than I've been around.
Yeah.
But they're a family, old, traditional Japanese cafe. I can't believe we didn't discover it till now.
I know, right? Like, what?
But it's phenomenal.
But, yeah. I mean, like, I love how they talked about skater culture. I loved how they talked about, like, actual
jazz culture.
Yes. And the actual Native Americans of Los Angeles.
Yeah, so definitely check it out.
Yeah.
It's really awesome.
I mean, if anything, I feel like we've gone through more cultural exchanges this past year with friends. I mean, like, you and I, like, yes, we showed our friend Ryan Hamilton.
Yes.
But if anything, we spent more time talking about who Hamilton was and what the culture was in that time. I mean, not to give away your sommelier workshops here.
Yes.
But he had a lot to deal with the American Revolution.
Why didn't I think about talking about that? Yeah, we've been doing lectures. I mean, it's been a little less now since, you know, nobody wants to sit in a Zoom chat anymore.
Yes, now that they have the option not to.
And I honestly don't blame you guys. But yeah, I used to do Zoom tea parties during COVID, and a lot of people hired me to do, like, basically their holiday parties for their businesses.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And if anything, it got people to kind of wake up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these people, they work really hard and they don't have anything else to do because, you know, COVID.
Yeah.
And suddenly it would actually inspire them to be like, oh, let me look back, you know, into history books over this stuff.
Yeah.
And it got them so curious. They never realized, you know, how much tea is actually in their culture.
Yeah, and I can't wait to do more research on that. It's just been a load of fun. Yeah. I think also the little nerd in me, like, understood how the system of, like, because there, you know, everybody knows about rum running, like, bootlegging.
Yes.
But people don't know about bootleg tea.
Yeah.
And there was actually a heck of a lot more bootleg tea going on than there was rum running. But I guess it's not cool to say bootleg tea.
Bootleg tea.
But goodness, like, my obsession with pirates. And then reading about how they did it, I was like, this is the same freaking thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And just knowing that, like, our forefathers literally, like, had these little ships called sloops, which were famous for their speed, but they were treacherous.
Mm-hmm.
And how they actually showed those on the Pirate of the Caribbean films. And just studying that, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, our founding fathers were pirates. So, it was awesome. And I don't know, I'm still into it. I'm still researching it.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Again, it's been nothing but, like, being historians this past year.
Yeah.
I mean, like, finding out that the British English have actually changed their language or their accents since the, you know, the foundation of America, of the, you know, USA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're telling me that Americans still actually speak the old British English prior to the Revolution? Like, where? You know? Mm-hmm. And,
oh, I think we have a helicopter going over.
Hey. Yep, LA is alive.
Well, I also apologize, everyone. We live next to a ravine. And anytime there's trespassers, we're all still trying to find where the heck these cameras are, but they're on it.
They're on it.
There's always a helicopter that gets sent over here to ward them off.
That's okay. Your dad loves to watch these things pass by. I don't know how he finds out the model of these helicopters, but he just loves it.
I don't know. I think that's an old time thing, because when I actually interned at the theater...
Yeah,
Jimbo. That's where we produced. Falcon. Oh my God, what's his name? John Marshall.
What? Gary Marshall.
Gary Marshall. Yes. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's been a while.
Rest in peace.
Yes. Gary Marshall's Theater of the Falcon.
Yes.
Everyone that was there that was older, hear a plane run outside. Hey, that model is da 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 da. I'm like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Is that just a thing that every old person knows? It's like a Pokédex of like random airplanes.
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny because I thought it was just like, I don't know, like a total guy dude thing. But even like the gay people would actually do that too. And I was like, wait, what? So that's literally like,
I think I guess it's that's just a boomer everyone thing. From that generation, like older yeah. men. Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah. As of late, I know that we've also been shopping at gardens a lot.
Yes. Well, and you have a garden shed, you kind of get addicted to it.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's one of the few things we could actually do to be out with people actually keeping their distance.
Yes.
And I feel like, it sounds weird, but like, I thought we already knew as many tea flavors as possible after like going to so many tea shops.
Mm.
But last year actually introduced us to a whole bunch of others
mm-hmm.
that I like was shocked at. I was like, this is actually tea?
So which one was the shocking one?
Bohe.
Well, Bohe's just a black tea.
Yeah. It's like the basic of basic tea. And it's like not even like... I personally don't like it. Personally.
Well, it's just basic tea.
And the flavors were not the usual. Because like I realized that all of the flavors we enjoy right now are like very fluorescent... sweet.
Yeah,
or...
tea spectral teas. I like to call them foodie teas.
Yeah.
They're definitely like. They were created to sort of stand alone and just be re-steeped and redone.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. We've actually had, like, I guess, pure flavored teas before.
Mm-hmm.
One of them would be pu'er. Okay, that's not mixed, is it?
No.
Okay. I know Earl Grey is mixed, but pu'er tea is not mixed.
No.
And even at that, actually had robust flavors, which is why I'm addicted to it. You know, like, give me any style of pu'er, I will drink it.
Right.
You know? So, suddenly, like, we have these other teas that are not as flavored.
And unimpressive. Well, they're based on the estates. I know my favorite... I guess discovery blend,
right?
Or tea from the lectures was potato leaf, sweet potato leaf.
Yeah.
And then I did it the way the colonials would have done it with peppermint and lemon balm, and it came out like a Moroccan mint.
Huh.
It was like a fuller body Moroccan mint. Like it actually does pass quite a bit like a green tea.
Okay.
Yeah, that was pretty delicious.
Well, this entire time that we've actually been, relearning everything, it feels like beatnik poetry, you know? Like, you've had, like, the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're down to dissecting it. And I felt like it didn't feel like we were going back to the basics. It just felt like we were just trying to understand, like, this intense formula we've been used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's, if any of you actually know, like, Chinese or Japanese, like, you know that the Japanese actually dissect, you know, one Chinese character to actually formulate their alphabet system. And it felt like that.
Right.
So.
Well, I know, well, speaking of Japanese and such, I've been really getting into matcha. Every morning.
Oh, Uji.
Uji matcha has been my jam lately.
It is the espresso of tea,
it's
baby.
It's really, I've been really enjoying it. I mean, I always knew about matcha, but I just never really paid any mind to it until I just needed that energy boost.
Yes.
So now I put it in a green smoothie, like, pretty much every morning on the weekdays.
Yeah. It's so sad that boba is actually now a hard commodity to come by.
Let's talk about boba in this past year and how it got us through everything. Yes. Honestly, I'm going to confess, I think I got my COVID-15 gain just from boba, because our boba drive-thru, oh my god, thank you for boba drive-thru.
Yes. Thank you for late night boba drive-thru.
Yeah.
My goodness.
But just trying all of the bobas in the San Gabriel Valley, basically, has just been so incredible. And then I think that I know everything. Yeah. And you find a new shop, and you're like, oh, it's just going to be the same. It's not. No. I mean, there's just such a beautiful, extensive culture that's behind boba. Be it cheese foam, or the flavors, or some people take it more like an artisan craft. Like, the other day, we had fresh-made fish balls.
Yes.
Like, fresh, with fresh paste that they actually went in and, like, kneaded it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, by the way. Incredible. But that to have with your boba, like a pairing, it was just... It blows my mind how many combinations of boba or styles of boba. And then there was that other time where they were squeezing fresh oranges and grapefruits and lemonade. And I'm like, whatever. You order it. You have your grapefruit green tea or your, what was it? They also did like an orange yogurt green tea.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Knocked my socks off. So good. And then I never tried cheese foam until last year.
Oh, yeah.
And that was interesting in itself. And I just learned all sorts of things. But I just really appreciate it. I feel like it's just a whole different spin on cafe culture. And I don't know. It was, like, really fun to experience and learn that.
Yeah.
Especially during a time of isolation. Just that, almost that, like, study of socializing. I mean, we weren't allowed to stay in the cafes,
right,
but just picking people's brains and learning new things and
right.
I loved it.
I can't figure out how people snob tea so much
when there's such a variety of culture. Yeah, I know, it kills me inside sometimes.
I mean, like, I don't, okay, let's backtrack a bit with what we have available to us already. Like, people already know about the Japanese tea ceremonies, I'm sure. And then we still have a Moroccan ceremony for teas.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we have, like, different ways of drinking it all across the world. And knowing that American tea tradition is Dutch.
Yeah.
It's like mind-blowing.
This is
like,
interesting. Since yesterday was the Armenian Genocide celebration or commemoration.
Right.
I was learning about tea practices in Armenia.
Huh.
And a lot of it has to do with, like, wild tisanes and, like, almost like gypsy medicinals, like picking herbs.
Right.
But they pair theirs with chocolates.
Ooh.
And you would love this. So one of their signatures is actually a fresh chopped mint they put straight into the chocolate when they're molding it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So just chocolate pairing and tea is like their thing.
That's very reasonable, seeing as chocolatiers and
yeah,
you know, tea drinkers like.
But that's like how that's how they do it. If it's not coffee, tea is paired with chocolate, and I was intrigued. But it showcases their wildlife and their natural lands. So I thought that was super intriguing. What else is there? There's Russian teas.
The Russians. was it yerba mate, was it?
I know they do like yerba, but they're famous for like their Russian caravan, like that very smoldery, smoky.
Yes.
Strong teas.
Yes, delicious.
Yeah. And then what else did we learn? You were talking about yerba mate. That's very Argentinian.
Yes, right? That's who they were. Mm-hmm. Argentinians that actually like.
But see, it just. We could keep going.
Yeah.
And it just kills me that like. Tea has to be a snob thing.
Right.
Has to be from this estate. It's like, no.
Exactly.
It's... Tea will forever evolve with the culture.
Yeah.
I think. That's my opinion.
I know. It's, I don't know. I guess it's like, let's just bring it up, avocados.
Like, yeah. I guess I could see that.
It's like avocados. I mean, like, you can't just say, like, avocado should only be eaten by itself, you know? Like...
That's like how a lot of Americans and people I meet are shocked that Filipinos and Asians use avocados as a dessert.
Oh, yeah. It's an entire meal.
Yeah.
You put sugar in it, and that's it. And that is literally a meal.
Or the milkshakes with the sweetened condensed milk. Yeah. There's also, like, tarts made with avocado.
Yeah.
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 It's like, it's almost treated like a pudding. Right?
Oh, yeah. That's like the Japanese with strawberry.
Mm.
It's like, oh my god.
Yes.
Like, their strawberries, like, you do whatever you want, you know, Japan. It all tastes good. It's like, please, give me more.
This reminds me of the Boysenberry Festival. How they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff in Knott's Berry Farm right
yes!
now.
Yes! Oh my god, their food festival.
They're making, like, barbecue sauce out of boysenberries. And I was like, sure.
Dude, I am living for it. I mean, we don't get to actually crowd around like, you know, the usual festivals, but man, just having access to that is still amazing.
Yeah. I hope you guys can hear the birds. It's actually really peaceful. I mean, one of our big inspirations is, I mean, it's out our bedroom window, but now it's in front of the shed, is Madame Leota.
Hey.
And she's famous for her lemons. And then we have Oswald the orange tree. We haven't named our tangerine tree. We need to name our tangerine tree.
No, the tangerine shall be known as the unknown. He is that mysterious.
My goodness. He makes, like, candy-flavored tangerines.
Oh, God, yes.
They're so good. But it's really peaceful out here. I'm looking at my garden beds, which are actually full of edible things for tea.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If anything, being able to relax in a isolated setting has actually been kind of helpful. I mean, I get it. A lot of people are isolated due to COVID, but we've been doing our best to actually stay busy.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, people want to make noise.
Yes.
And yes, there were times where it was appropriate. Yes, there were times where people needed to fight for it. But it feels good to have solace. To just be able to think.
Absolutely. I guess on that note, we'll see you in the next episode. Please do email us or message us however way you can. We love getting feedback from you. We're looking forward to some special guests in the next couple of episodes, or at least in one of the episodes this season, right?
Yes.
Any last thoughts, words, concerns, complaints?
Stay cozy.
Absolutely.
Stay cozy.
All right. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.